And get to see the kids program and Landon sing and the puppets. Well, it's been good. And there's one little fella that I think in another generation he's going to be our song leader. And that's good. Well, this morning I'd like to share some of the God's word with you in John chapter 1. You know the story of Jesus. Most people know the Christmas story. You know the manger, the travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You know those things. But I'd like to focus in on what the Bible says about Jesus and some attributes, some qualities that he has that we need to pick up on to have confidence in our prayers, that our prayers are getting through and that God is able to answer. We need to know who we're talking to. To have experiences in our life that we would commit to God and ask for his help, we need to know who it is we're talking to. And so we're going to take a look in John chapter 1, the first 18 verses. I know 1 through 18, you think, oh man, we're going to be here past dinner time. But we're going to go quickly. I intend to, unless you guys have questions. But we're going to take a look at the Lord Jesus. I was thinking that at graduations, the principal, the administrators, other students have things to say about a student that is graduating. And you sit there wondering, what are they going to say about my kid? And you're anxious to hear that. And I'd like for us to have that same attitude when we talk about the Lord Jesus. What's he going to say about him? What does the Bible say about him? And have that anticipation. As we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do commit this time to you. We ask for your help in understanding your word. We thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that he came. We thank you that he lived, that he died for our sins, that he rose again. And as we take this all in, we pray that you just touch our hearts and give us renewed confidence, renewed assurance that we have trusted the God of all creation. So use your word in our lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. So what I'm going to do, if you have your Bibles and you have them open to John, it's the Gospel of John. There's the first, second, and third John letters in the back, but this is the gospel. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 1. And I'm going to read a little bit and just describe that or speak about it just a little bit so we have a full picture, a fuller picture. We can't exhaust the subject, so I won't say we get the full picture. But verses 1 through 5, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or overcome it." Now that first phrase, "in the beginning," we've read that before someplace, haven't we? Where did we read it? At the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, we run into it again. Now in the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word. Now that's an interesting word, the Word. And if you have your bulletin and you want to jot down things, take notes in there. The Greek word is logos. And because it's got so many definitions, it involves so much. I used one word study in the Greek New Testament, Wiest's word studies in the Greek New Testament, so that we don't get too wordy here, but it's still a bit of a lengthy definition. It comes from the verb, which means literally to pick words in order to express one's thoughts. It refers not merely to a part of speech, but to a concept or idea. Our Lord is the Logos of God, in the sense that he is the total concept of God, deity speaking through the Son of God, not in parts of speech, as in a sentence composed of words, but in the human life of a divine person. So when we think Logos or Logos, when it says in the beginning was the Word, we're thinking of the whole concept, the whole idea of God, that we can't quite wrap our heads around all that he is, but it involves all that God is, the expression of God, the Word of God. And what do we read here? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. First of all, I'd like to point out that the Word is eternal. This Logos has always been. At the moment of beginning, in the beginning was the Word. How far back do we want to go to start the conversation? In the beginning. Where was the beginning point of time? Where was that? Well, go beyond it. He was present at the beginning when time began. God already was. Logos already was. He was there. In verses 3 and 4, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Wow. He's the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and all things were made through him. The Bible also says in the book of Colossians, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together, the atomic glue of creation. The Bible also says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Apostle Paul, when he was preaching at Athens, pointed out that in him we live and move and have our being. We live because God has ordained that we have life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We have tendencies as people, and there are groups of people, we're not quite there yet, but to ignore and change God's design. And that only leads to disaster. Now we're there. Verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And some of your translations, if you're reading along with me, it says did not overcome it, could not quench, squelch, and get rid of the light. The light is God's light, and in him was light, and the light was the life of men. It shines in the darkness. What kind of darkness? Well, we could go out in space, and space is full of darkness. Maybe it's the light that he chooses to put in certain places and in certain planets and stars and so on. But there's also the light that shines in the darkness, moral darkness. There's the physical darkness and there's the moral darkness. But we have two sources of this light. The written word that we have here, the Bible. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The written word is the light that gives us guidance. And there is also the living word. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. People of influence may boast that they have exceptional light or wisdom, but if they have bitter envy and self-seeking in their hearts, they are lying against the truth. This wisdom, the Bible says, does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, even demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Verse 6 goes on, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now we need to make that clear. Not everybody's familiar with the first chapter of John. And so we look at the top of the page and, oh, John's the author. This is the Gospel of John. But there's another John that is being spoken of here, and that's John the Baptist. He's the one that announced the Lord Jesus and presented him to the first of all, to the nation of Israel. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The light came into the world, and this man, John, announced him. It's kind of funny, isn't it, that John the Baptist came, and the light of the world came, and he's beginning to teach, and he's walking along the Sea of Galilee, and John has to point him out and say, look, there's the light. People weren't comprehending what he was teaching, what he was saying, who he was saying he was. In Spokane, the gospel mission, Union Gospel Mission, is down on Brown Street in downtown Spokane. And it's near the river, and sometimes the fog comes off that Spokane River, and it gets really foggy down there. And there were a couple young people, young adults, that were hanging out on a corner, and nobody knows what their thoughts were, but someone came along and said, what you guys doing this evening? And they said, don't know, we're kind of hungry, we haven't had anything to eat all day, and we were just kind of wondering what we might have for dinner, or where we might go and get a handout, or whatever. And the person talking to him said, you see that light over there? On the corner, about three blocks down, there's bright lights, and there's a sign, and it says, Gospel Mission. You head that way, and I think they'll take care of you there. Now, you would think that intelligent young men would say, let's go somewhere where there's a light, and perhaps we'll get a handout from somebody in a business or whatever, downtown Spokane. But they had to be pointed out. No, look at that light. Go to that light. And that's kind of the way it was in Jesus' day. When he arrived, he grew up and he was walking along the Sea of Galilee. He had a gathering of people. He was teaching. And John the Baptist comes along and he's baptizing in the Jordan River. And he says, look, there is the light. Point out the light. People aren't always naturally drawn to the light. But John the Baptist pointed out the light, and then some responded. Not everybody did they? He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. But as many as responded, as many as received him, to To them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. Some believed, they received, and they benefited from the light. What was the benefit? They were born of God. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now this is something that is available to everybody. There's nobody that God leaves out that says, you cannot be born again. I insist that you just go your own way and don't ever hear from God. God isn't interested in you. Just go. He doesn't say that. Whoever received the light, whoever received the person who is the light, have the right to be called children of God because they are born again. You've heard that term, haven't you? You've been born again. You've been given new life. You've been given spiritual life. You've been given the life from God. You've been made a new creature when you believe in the Lord Jesus. So to respond and receive, believe, benefit by being born again and gaining new spiritual life. So the Word was at the beginning, was with God, the Word was God. He, it is a person, was in the beginning with God. Whoever received him received life from God. And in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Logos, the Word, became flesh and took part in life just like we have. We all do. And he came special delivery. I'm waiting for a package to come special delivery that says Amazon on it. Something in a box. How did the Word come? He was special delivery. He came in a manger, didn't he? The pregnant Virgin Mary came down from Nazareth on the back of a donkey and gave birth in the stable and laid the baby, the Lord Jesus, in the manger. But God the Father made this delivery. God the Father gave us his Son, this one who comes and as a baby. John 3:16 may be familiar to you, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now just that one verse is really loaded, isn't it? God so loved the world that he gave. But what did the giving mean? Did he just give a baby so that people could have those warm fuzzy feelings about this gift? The baby had a destiny. The Word became flesh. All that God is, all that we can understand of God, became flesh, grew up. And the Father, God the Father, intended for him to be the sacrifice for our sin, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, not be separated from God, but be brought into God's family and have everlasting life, eternal life. The Bible also said that God did not spare his Son. He didn't save him from that destiny, from that purpose. But he gave up his son. He did not spare his son, but he gave him for us. He did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all. And shall he not also, with his son, freely give us all things? As we read the passage, we finally run into a name in verse 13. In verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Finally have a name for the word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the giver of this grace has a message. He said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him we saw, and in through the scriptures we see, that grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time, but through Jesus, he declares him. He reveals God to us. So he says, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. So the Lord Jesus can make our life meaningful, purposeful. And he also says, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Never cast out. As Christians, we soak up these words of Scripture. But someone may be here today who may respond to the Savior as you understand the awesome power and authority of Jesus Christ, the Logos, the Word of God. What would be an appropriate response to the Lord Jesus, who is eternal? Who is the Creator, who was given for us, who died on the cross for us? What's a good response to him? I'd suggest something very short. You can say in your heart, in your mind, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and Lord. It may raise a question. Will you receive me? Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Will you receive me? What did Jesus say? He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. We can trust his word. And it may be this morning that if there's just one, maybe more, that would say that, Lord Jesus, come into my life as Savior. Save me from my sin. Save me from the destiny of sin, separation from God and hell. Come into my life. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. I will not cast you out, he says. Let's pray. Father, as we consider the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, the Logos, all that he is, he's so much more than just a baby in the manger, but he came to identify with us. That happened to us. We were born. We grew up. We have personalities. We have purposes, things that you've designed for us or we've designed for ourselves. But I thank you that he came to save us. Draw us into your kingdom, the kingdom of light. Draw us into your home and give us a home in heaven. Lord, help us to respond to you. And as we have this opportunity to visit. There may be just some time to visit about what's most important. We pray that you'd use your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.